This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today in the JPR studios, singer-songwriter Jeffrey Foucault, whose latest release is called Salt as Wolves. That went out in 2015. JeffreyFoucault.com is the website. It's F-O-U-C-A-U-L-T. Jeffrey Foucault, welcome to JPR.
Thank you very much for having me in.
It's a pleasure to meet you. You are originally Upper Midwest guy, right? Wisconsin?
That's correct, yeah. I grew up in Wisconsin.
And if I understand correctly, guitar came kind of late, toward the end of high school. Do you have any grand plans for becoming a musician, or was it really just something that you were drawn to and enjoyed doing?
It was a process of elimination where I looked at all the straight jobs I could see and realized that I was drastically unfit for just about all of them.
What was the short list?
There wasn't one, man.
No.
I got an undergrad degree in history at the University of Wisconsin and with a minor in American Indian Studies. And then I worked a variety, all through college, and then after college I worked a variety of mostly outside jobs, blue-collar jobs, although I did everything from schlepping coffee to driving the snowplow to house carpentry, farm work, stuff like that. And I liked those kind of jobs, but I also, carrying drywall up a ladder in the rain in November has a clarifying effect on the uses of education. So I went back to school after dropping out. And when I was dropped out is when I started writing songs. I was about 19. And I'd written a little handful of tunes. And by the time I'd been out of school a couple of years, I started feeling like I better do something. So I had a hard time like closing doors. I didn't want to, if I committed to being a songwriter, for example, making a record, I was worried that I was never going to, work on an Alaskan fishing boat or be like a smoke jumper in the Forest Service. I had all these vague ideas. And
See, there was a short list.
Right.
You wanted to be a smoke jumper.
I actually signed up for the program up in Snoqualmie and then ended up right after college going to California instead because a friend of mine took a job running a Y camp and he needed a program director. So honestly, come to think of it, the only if I had to make a resume, because I haven't had a real job in many years, was being a program director and camp counselor and stuff. Okay. I worked in the Y and I really loved it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you are among many artists that in 2015, 16 are getting lumped into Americana. It's that gigantic gray space
in between country and
folk and blues and a little of everything in between, right? Do you find a specific target in that gray area anywhere that is your comfort zone?
How to put it? It's always fascinating to me that we've managed to come up with Americana as a genre designation, and yet it doesn't include jazz, which is the most distinctly American achievement in music, and it doesn't include conjunto or Tejano music, which, of course, is influential. Basically, when people say Americana, what they mean is people who sound like Steve Earle. And it would just save everybody time if they just called it like Steve Earle music. And I, really what I do, it all comes from American country and blues, and mostly the early stuff. And it's always worth pointing out, it doesn't mean that I didn't hear other stuff, It just, everybody's been exposed by virtue of mass media to everything. I heard all the stuff I wanted to hear on purpose, and I heard all the hair metal bands that I could not avoid because my brother was playing them at top volume down the hall, So I know songs by Poison, and I can't unknow them, right?
Right.
So really, it's just an arch formalism that we try to bring to the table, but nobody has inherited the makings of American music whole and undistilled for many, many years, We've all heard it all.
Well, in almost every review, your newest release, Salt as Wolves, is being referred to as a blues album. Sort of, kind of.
You know why?
Right?
So you got to fill out all this metadata when you're submitting an album. And I started working with a new management company like a month before the record came out. But prior to that, I was kind of just running things myself, which that should never happen for a variety of reasons. Most of them very good. And I was the guy that filled out the metadata, and I didn't understand. It had a genre thing, and I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, when I got the idea to make the record, I wanted to make a blues combo record in spirit, if not in fact. And it's not, you know, it's not all 12 bar. It doesn't sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan. And it doesn't sound precisely like Chess Records either. But there is, there's certainly a kinship to the way Chess Records were made. And all of the players are on that record deeply, you know, steeped in that kind of music. So it is a blues combo record in terms of approach, but of course there are country songs and ballads and a little folk song here and there. And but it's for the, you know, then there's these other sort of blues elements. But it ended up on the blues charts because I just randomly filled in blues as the metadata, and then it charted on the radio, and I was like, well, I'll be damned. There you go. So I mean, I don't. Well, what would have happened if I had written down, you know, like world music or
right,
you know, contemporary something, you know? But
Jeffrey Focalt is my guest today, live on Jefferson Public Radio. His newest release is called "Salt as Wolves." JeffreyFocalt.com is the web address. Well, you've got both a slide in your hand and also a road-worn Gibson. I'm guessing there will be something bluesy to start off. What do you want to launch with?
We'll do a tune. I usually do this at the end, so we'll try doing it at the beginning. This is a song called "Left This Town."
Well, I left this town with the throttle open wide. The heater was blowing, but nothing inside could ember the darkness. Swallow my pride. Oh, I left this town and I was running. I left this town with the milk and the fire, a rattling hollow itinerant choir that cut me and called me, held me in tire. Oh, I left this town, I was gunning. You couldn't understand what I wanted. No one could hold my hand and make it alright. Born into the land of the dead, I was haunted. But I could hear the ghosts singing on the other side. Well, I left this town with the blood and the wine. A rooster was crowing. My mama was crying for everything born. Another one dying. Oh, I left this town and I was done in. But you couldn't say my name, you didn't know it. You thought it was all a game, but I was gambling my life. And you said you felt the same, I said, why don't you show it? I left you standing in the dust by the highway side. Oh, I left this town with the throttle open wide. Left town with the throttle open wide, and I left this town with tears in my eyes, and I left this town. Ooh, I left this town. I left this town.
That is Left This Town. It's Jeffrey Focalt live today on Jefferson Public Radio, a tune from his latest release called Salt as Wolves. Well, this is not much of a stretch, but after hearing you perform, you cut this record live to tape in just a couple of days, right?
I went in with about, I would say 24 songs, and I only wanted to make a 10-song record. We cut 16 or 17 songs. By day three, I didn't even have lyrics for a lot of them. I had to write them out by hand and hand them off to the band. And we worked fast. I there's a thing that happens when you work that way that there are virtues about working slowly and overlayment and all the techniques of using the studio, but all the records that I really love and care about were recorded this way. Just it's very fast. It's very, very much conversational, what each person plays on their own. And I don't tell anybody what to play in a band like that. You know, I figure they'll come up with something. And I would just as soon leave them to their work, you know.
And it's a couple of guys that you've been playing with for quite a while, Billy Conway and Bo Ramsey. And then very familiar voice to us here at JPR and JPR listeners is on vocals, harmony vocals on a lot of tracks, Caitlin Canty.
That's right. We cut that record in the middle of a tour. It worked out that we had 3 days off in the middle of a Midwest tour that because I had produced the Caitlin record that you've been playing, which is called... Reckless Skyline. I produced that album for her, and then I took her out to open a couple tours to get her foot in the door in a bunch of clubs in the Midwest and various parts of the country. And so she happened to be there, and I had been sort of two minds whether it was going to be, you know, am I going to drop her off in Minneapolis and then go cut this record in Cannon Falls and pick her up again to start the tour. And she said she would be happy just sticking around, and she's such a great natural singer. I mean, really, truly talented. And so we ended up putting her on background vocals on almost every tune, and that ended up being one of the great things about the album. She, you know, it was that chemistry in the vocal.
Well, speaking of the way you work, the title of this record, "Salt as Wolves," is a line from Othello. And in poking around your website, there are many, many references to books that you are currently reading or have just read. Do you get a lot of inspiration from the printed word?
Yep.
That makes its way into your songwriting one way or another?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing that tends to turn the wheel in my mind. I read a lot of poetry, certainly, and I read a lot of fiction. So, you know, you go sort of feast and famine with fiction. But I'll read fiction and, you know, a steady diet of nonfiction. And I used to keep up with a couple magazines, although I found that more difficult as I get older to either want to or to, in fact, do it. I'm usually reading something else.
You have talked about the differences you see between poetry and songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in recent months, we've now got Dylan winning the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed your perspective on the differences between poetry and songwriting at all?
No. Not at all. I was thrilled that Bob Dylan won the Nobel, and I thought it was very fitting, and I thought it was also very fitting that he didn't show up, you know, to
yeah, right.
get up, because he's Bob Dylan. And one of my favorite writers, Jim Harrison, who, you know, never took a university position and who was very poor when he was writing his early books before he became successful. You know, he's digging well pits by hand in northern Michigan and making less than $10,000 a year for years on end. He said somebody's got to stay outside, and I think that's a beautiful way to think about Dylan's job. And it's worth, you know, it's worth pointing out to anybody that's frustrated that he's not actually a novelist or a long page writer. I mean, one, he is to some extent. He's written a few books, but then also he's an irreducible element culturally speaking. You can't take him out of anything that happened after him, and that goes for music, art, literature, poetry, any version of aesthetics in the modern world. You know, he was the guy that happened to be there at the time, you know, and had a unique set of talents.
Jeffrey Focalt is my guest today, live on JPR. His newest record is called Salt as Wolves. It's a 2015 release, and information is at jeffreyfocalt.com. What's next?
I'm going to do a blues tune called Blues for Jesse May. This is a song I wrote somewhat about and for the blues singer Jesse May Hempel, who's from Mississippi. I think she's from Natchez. And she was a big influence on me in the time leading up to making this record. Just for whatever reason, there was an album of hers that was sort of sticking with me, and so I ended up writing this tune in a style very similar to her style, which is a pretty modal, repetitive guitar figure with a pretty elemental melody line, and really every line in the song is something that I heard her say, you know, in an interview or on a documentary or something, and I just stitched them all together. So she's the one talking in the tune. Yeah.
Get to heaven is to love everybody. The only way I can get to heaven is to love everybody. The only way I can get to heaven, the only way I can get to heaven, the only way I can get to heaven is to love everyone. Nothing, I ain't leaving nothing. I ain't giving up nothing. I ain't leaving nothing. I ain't giving up nothing. The only way I can get to hell. Love everybody. The only way I can get to heaven is to love everyone. I'm doing what I wanna do, and that's the same, same. I'm doing what I wanna do, and that's the same. I'm doing what I wanna do, oh. The only way I can get to heaven is to love, love. She stays out where the wind blows cold all the time. She stays out where the wind. Cold all the time. She stays out with the wind. She stays out. The only way I can get to heaven is to love everybody. The only way I can get to heaven is to love. The only way I can get to heaven, the way I'm gonna get to heaven, is to love everyone.
That's Blues for Jesse May, Steffi Foucault. Tuned from his record called Salt as Wolves. He's my guest live today on JPR. Information at jeffreyfoucault.com. In talking about the personnel on the record, one of the guys is drummer Billy Conway. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple of years, you have been touring as a duo, mm-hmm. just you on guitar and vocals and drums. It's kind of a minimalistic setup in some ways.
It is. Our rule is that neither one of us gets to play anything that we can't carry into the club in one trip under our own power. That was the rule. Billy was in a band called Treat Her Right in the 80s. That was the precursor to the band Morphine that he was the drummer in after that. And that was their rule. You got to keep it simple, right? So they, Billy at that point would play a cocktail kit, a stand-up drum kit that has a unique sort of kick drum that you play top and bottom. And now he plays a suitcase drum kit. So he's got an old Air Flight sort of boxy suitcase, and the whole rig fits in there. And the rig is a snare drum with a conga head and a cymbal, and then a what's called a sock cymbal or a low boy, which was the original version of the hi-hat. Before the hi-hat came upstairs and moved to where you see it now, it used to be down right by your foot. And so every time we set up, every sound guy says, "What is that thing?" And Billy has to go through it all again. It's a very simple kit. And once the suitcase is empty, that becomes the kick drum. And Billy is such a beautiful, virtuosic musician. He makes it sound, you know, so good. And I never would have expected to be able to go out and play duo with a drummer. This is the first tour I've done without him in about 3 years or more than 3 years, and it's very difficult for me to wrap my head around playing solo. Yeah.
Well, I would imagine you've probably come close to violating that own rule, because if you've got an acoustic guitar in one hand and an electric in the other, but then you've got a little tiny amp that you can tuck under your arm, right? So technically...
I have two guitars and an amplifier and a suitcase. One of the guitars is an electric that goes on a strap on my back.
Okay.
The acoustic guitar is in a case. And then I've got the little 5-watt amplifier from the 50s. I tuck that under my arm, and that leaves me one hand to pick up my brown suitcase that I set on its end, and it becomes my table where I put all my stuff. And in there is, you know, just a few pedals that I use for the guitar.
Well, before I let you go today, I want to talk a little bit about how you ended up in Western Massachusetts. That's where life is when you're not on the road, right?
Yeah, that's where my family is. I had no intention of going out to the East Coast at all. I was never east of Michigan before 2001, and then and then I ended up going out there on tour, and my management were out there, and they set me up on a tour of the UK with Peter Mulvey and Chris Delmhorst, and I sat down on an airplane next to Chris Delmhorst and started talking, and never quit. We
to this day, right?
That's right. We became very good friends, and then got married, and we've been together, you know, 12 years. And so I moved out there because she was involved in the music scene in Boston. And to bring it all sort of full circle, Billy Conway produced her first two records. How I knew Billy, and when he was still working at High and Dry, running the studio after Morphine was all over. And she didn't want to get too far from the scene in Boston, and she didn't want to move to the Midwest, and I didn't want to live in the city, so we compromised, and she moved 100 miles west, and I moved 1,000 miles east.
Well, what is that like now? Because you've got husband and wife each with a solo singer-songwriter career, and you've got a young one also, right? So that's got to create some difficulties if somebody's always out on the road. How have you worked through that?
Well, you got to be careful to have it not be always, for sure. But if you tot up the hours that I'm home and present, it ends up being just about 2/3 of the year, because I'm only out, you know, 120, 130 days. The rest of the time I'm home, and that means I'm home all the time. I'm there to make breakfast in the morning, and I'm, there to pick my daughter up from school. And it's much more time than I ever saw my own dad, who went to work before I got up and was not home until dinner time. And then I'd see him on the weekends. And so it's a different version, certainly, but it also allows, you know, a certain amount of latitude for us to all travel together. Chris and I have just recently started to play more together. She came and opened my full band European tour in the spring. So we brought Hazel, and we got my tour manager over there, a wonderful guy named Ronald. Ronald brought his partner Ingrid, and she nannied for us. So we're like this big family, you know, and my daughter Hazel's just happy as a clam running around Europe in the tour van and cool. going to the clubs and stuff. So it actually works out. It sounds as though it would be very difficult, but it is not nearly as difficult as it would be for me to get up every morning and go to the same job. So,
well, I'm grateful that one of the 100 days you're out on the road, you dropped by here.
Well, thank you very much for having me in. Yeah, likewise.
Jeffrey Focalt is my guest today live on JPR. The newest record is called Salt as Wolves. That was a 2015 release. What does that mean about what's next, by the way?
Well, that's a good question. I just drove down here from Portland, and I had a long talk with my manager, who would very much like me to go right in the studio and make something. And I remember somebody asking Neil Young about why he made so many different various kinds of records, such a wide sonic palette. And he said, have you ever watched a dog try to lay down and he keeps turning around? It's kind of like that. And there's an element of that to getting ready to make a record. I always feel like I can tell the difference between when I'm writing songs that I just have to write through. They might turn into something later, but I'm going to write them, and they're not going to be anything for this record, but they're I have to write them anyway. And I know eventually, you know, it's kind of like, you're standing in the river and you're just panning. And eventually you write something that you know will be the right thing. And so I'm kind of in that place. I actually have studio time booked in two different states this spring. And I just haven't decided which tunes I'm going to bring or how it's going to go or who's going to play.
Well, when you get something finished, send a copy our way.
So we'll send it to JPR.
All right, will you play us one more?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a song called Hurricane Lamp, and it's sort of a sweet little ballady song I wrote for an old friend of mine.
One, two. You got a heart like a hurricane lamp. You got a heart like a hurricane lamp. And I see you shine anywhere I am. You got a heart like a hurricane lamp. You keep your light inside. Keep your light inside. Keep your light inside. Keep your light. It's a long black night coming down on you. One that howls inside where the wind blows through. I know you feel like you'll die for anything true. You got a light and it shines in you. And you keep your light inside. Keep your light inside. Keep your light inside. Keep your light. Thank you.
That is Jeffrey Foucault live today on JPR. His newest release is called Salt as Wolves, on which you'll find all three of the tunes he played for you today. Information is at jeffreyfoucault.com. Jeffrey Foucault, thanks again for coming by. It's nice to meet you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.